Good morning, and a warm welcome to this morning's podcast service, which is being led by our good friend, Mr. Alex Walker, worship leader at South Leeds URC. The funeral of the late Mr. Len Bower will take place on the morning of Tuesday, the 26th of January, and the funeral of the late Mrs. Margaret Balsh will take place on the afternoon of Friday, the 29th of January.
Hello and welcome. My name is Alex Walker and I am the elder in lay leadership at the United Reformed Church in South Leeds. It is a pleasure to be back to lead this podcast service on behalf of the church and community at Headingley St. Columba's, and I hope that, despite all the restrictions, you have all had a lovely Christmas and New Year. I bring with me and offer the hand of fellowship from my home church in Belle Isle, and indeed say hello to any of you who are listening, wherever and whenever you are listening. Our call to worship is taken from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. Stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. Our opening hymn, Jesus Calls Us Over the Tumult, a familiar hymn that speaks not just of the disciples' calling, but our own. We will sing together. We come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time to hear your word and renew our spirits. We give you thanks that we can do that freely and openly, away from oppression and judgment in our faith in you. We praise you for the goodness you have bestowed on us this week, as we have lived in your world and in our communities, and that you have shown and given us many blessings and good things. We pray that we may be encouraged and strengthened in these blessings and be a blessing to you in return. Lord God, we acknowledge now that we are not the disciples you call us to be, that we often let the side down in how we act, how we think, and what we say to each other and about each other. We offer you our confessions as we pray for forgiveness. When we confess our sins, you forgive us. When we repent from our old ways, you bless us. We thank you for that forgiveness. Forgiveness ultimately offered through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross at Calvary. We pray that we may have the courage and the strength to forgive as you do, and the will to not repeat the easy ways of sin, but to walk firmly with you. Lord God, we offer these prayers in your name.
Amen.
We say the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever.
Amen.
Our first reading today is our Gospel reading. From Mark chapter 1, this is a passage that describes the scene as Jesus calls his first disciples. The reading will be read by Susan Bollen.
Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Our second reading is taken from Jonah chapter 3. Not mentioning any sea-bound creatures, this reading tells us what happens when we listen and respond to messages from God. Our reader is Sandra Barry.
Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 and verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it.
The Gospel of Mark begins with the words, "The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Mark introduces this message as being grounded in the prophets and initiated by the preaching of John the Baptist in the wilderness of Judea. John preached a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. His message was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He also proclaimed that someone far greater than himself was about to follow him in the scene. John's baptism was with water, but his would be a baptism of the Holy Spirit, with fire. When John baptized Jesus in the Jordan, the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus with the words of affirmation. Then the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. Luke tells us that he returned from the temptation in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Jesus' ministry would be affirmed by works of healing as well as acts of power in driving out demons from people. We tend to concentrate upon these works, but Jesus was far more interested in the message than the signs. He was a teacher first. All the powerful works did was to affirm the authority of his message. It was proof that he had been sent by God. Without the understanding of the message, the works become distorted. Some of the people of Jesus' day thought that Jesus did these works by the power of Satan. One could think of no greater blasphemy against God than to claim that Satan was more concerned about the welfare of people than God. The Gospel of Mark presents the authority of Jesus Christ over nature, people, and devils. Jesus was empowered by the Spirit in all of his ministry. This morning's text begins with the notification that John the Baptist had been cast into prison. The other Gospels indicate some overlap of the ministry of Jesus and that of John after Jesus returned from the temptation. We are not sure how long this period was, but it was probably short. Jesus had to increase and John decrease, as the Baptist himself acknowledged. John would languish in prison for a while before he was executed. John was being silenced, but not his message. Jesus himself took on proclaiming the message of John the Baptist. Time had arrived. People needed to repent and believe the gospel. It is not that the message had originated with John the Baptist. It was God who gave John the message to proclaim. As God's eternal Son, he, along with the Father and Holy Spirit, was the author of the message. The message he preached was his own. John had been silenced, but now the greater one lifted up his voice. Those in Jerusalem and in Caesarea, where Herod, Philip lived, and where John was imprisoned, had thought themselves rid of this message to repent and believe the good news. How wrong they were. There are no recorded miracles done by John the Baptist, but Jesus performed many miracles. But his message was the same, but now it was even more powerfully proclaimed. Not only this, but Jesus made disciples who had proclaimed this exact same message. Here in the text of Mark, Jesus calls four fishermen to follow him into the ministry. The Gospels record that all four of them had had some previous acquaintance with Jesus. Some of them had been disciples of John the Baptist, who had heard John proclaim, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world." Two of them followed Jesus and spent time with Jesus. Andrew and John invited others. Discipleship can be a messy process. We are not very inclined to obedience. Here Jesus comes to the shore of the lake and calls them again. This time they leave all and follow him. But the time would come that Jesus would have to resummon them to the work of the ministry after the resurrection, again at the shore of this same lake. Mark leaves out a lot of detail in the account that Luke brings out. The miracle of the catch of the fish after they had toiled all night and caught nothing. Peter's asking Jesus to depart, as Peter confesses, but he was but a sinner, is left out. It would seem that Jesus' authority over nature by having the fish come into a net thrown over the wrong side of the boat would have fit in well with Mark's theology. Why Mark just contains the basics is a mystery, other than this is typically done by Mark. The Holy Spirit would have these other witnesses fill in the blanks. So we are not at a loss for this. This brevity puts extra emphasis upon Jesus' words, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." The Gospel then says they forsook all and followed him. They obeyed the call. We see here that not only is the message of God not silenced by adversity, such as that which happened to John the Baptist, it grows in both power and number. Now there would be many more who would proclaim the message to the world to repent and believe the good news. John's message reached out to Judea and Jerusalem for the most part, although it did spread from there to other places as well. There were even some in Ephesus who had heard of the baptism of John. Jesus would proclaim this message in Galilee, in addition to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and Caesarea Philippi. Jesus would continue making disciples to proclaim the good news. He had a group of 12 and a larger group of 70. The message of God is unstoppable. The rulers of Israel, in cahoots with the Roman government, had Jesus arrested and crucified. Jesus was safely silenced. After all, dead men tell no tales. But how wrong they were. Jesus was raised by God on the third day. He showed himself alive to the disciples and other chosen persons for 40 days. He told them before he ascended that the Holy Spirit would come upon them as it had come upon him. Soon there would be 120 preachers of the message on Pentecost. Soon the disciples of Jesus would number in the thousands and eventually millions. The Sanhedrin tried to nip this in the bud. They had Peter and John arrested on several occasions. They were forbidden to preach or teach in the name of Jesus. They thought they could silence the message to repent and believe the good news. They stoned Stephen. They commissioned Saul of Tarsus to hunt down the believers. But it was to no avail. Even Saul was converted by Jesus on the way to Damascus. The church has faced many obstacles to the preaching of the gospel, but the message continues in spite of fire, dungeon, or sword. When the printing press presented the opportunity to present the gospel, the enemy tried to stop it by burning the books and persecuting those who printed them. But it was all for naught. Someone thought they could stop Tyndale from distributing the English Bible by buying up all the books. But that also failed. Tyndale used the profits to print even more Bibles. Today, the internet and social media present opportunities to share the good news. The enemies of the gospel are filled with rage and are trying to ban the message and messengers from these platforms. They should realise that this attempt to stifle the message will serve more to promote it. What God wants is for his people to be bold in proclaiming the message in spite of the dangers. What God wants is people who will stick to the message and not try to alter it in order to remove the offence of the cross. The message from the beginning is to repent and believe the good news. The word repent is not a suggestion, but is an imperative in Greek. This message originates from the sovereign God and King of the universe and not from any human source. Commands from the King are meant to be obeyed. Disobeying the King has severe repercussions. If people fear the edicts of earthly leaders, how much more those which come from God? God has not suggested that the church preach this message of repentance either. Rather, God commands us to witness. The command to make disciples is an imperative and meant to be obeyed. The church must follow the example of Jesus' first disciples. We must leave all else behind and follow him. The world is in darkness. The world is in severe trouble. But more severe than the earthly problems the world now faces of its own making is the danger of being unprepared to meet God. People need to know what the real problem is. People have turned their backs on God and his word. They need to repent. This is their only hope. Scientists only have some of the answers. Politicians are not the answer either. The only hope is Jesus. Be bold to tell them. Amen. Our next hymn is one that I used to sing in middle school back in the 1990s, back when you could sing hymns in school. A lovely bouncy tune that I have long enjoyed and had quite a lot of fun recording this one. It is a very Mark's Gospel style account of Jesus' ministry on earth. Lord of the Dance. We will sing together.
I danced in the morning when the world was begun. I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun. I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. The Bethlehem, I had my birth. Dance there wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you. Said he. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee, but they would not dance and they would not follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came to me and the dance went on. Dance there wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me high and left me there on the cross to die. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on a Friday and the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body and they thought I'd gone. But I am the dance and I still go on. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. And I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
We now come to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Lord God, give us the courage to be willing to follow you, even when the road is tough and our destination is unclear. Keep us on the path that leads to your glory. We pray that when it is our time to witness, we may not serve not just you, but our families and the communities that you call us to serve. we remember those we miss from church, as the old ways start to become memories of easier and happier times, we pray for our friends, many we have known for a number of years and love dearly, who we miss. The people who have kept your kingdom alive in your buildings for so long, we pray that as we hear these words now, that they are blessed by your Spirit, that as we think of them, you may comfort them, that as we are secure with you, you are keeping them safe too. We pray for the vaccine as it continues to be rolled out, that the people who need it can have it, and that there is enough to go around. We praise you for the scientific marvel that is medicine, and give thanks to all those who keep us well and safe. We remember the key workers working hard to keep our communities running, and those desperate to work but can't through no fault of their own. We pray for our school children, many having to learn at home with many different methods of doing so. We pray for their teachers, often split between educating their own children and others. We pray that soon we may hear the laughter from the school playgrounds again, and that the task of growing up may be continued together. We pray for our city, a complicated, multifaceted city that thrives and buzzes through the interaction of people. We pray for our city's sick and lonely, for the homeless and the grieving. We remember those in our communities who feel trapped and scared, people living in abusive situations and cannot find a way out. We pray for all our support workers, overburdened as they are, that they may feel encouraged to carry on with the difficult tasks ahead. We pray for our nation, a nation still divided by Brexit and now feeling its full effects, a nation divided by politics and policy, by ideology and morals. We pray that this year may be one of renewal in what's important, togetherness, fellowship and love. We pray for our leaders and influencers, that they may have wisdom, kindness and compassion, that they may have good intentions and may be drawn to justice for the many in their decision making. We pray for our world, for the people in it who face fear every day, those who are victims of hate, greed and corruption. We pray that your light may shine in through their windows, that your goodness may be cast upon them, that they may find the security we often take for granted. We give you thanks for the peaceful handover of governance in America, that the inauguration happened without the threat of violence being realised. We pray that they may become the embodiment of democracy they claim to be, and that they may be moral leaders in our world. Heavenly Father, we also remember those who are victims of climate change and environmental disasters. We pray for those who have lost their homes through fire, flood, heat and cold. We pray that we may be better custodians of your world, and that we may be called to do our part in keeping it safe. Lord God, we now offer up the people, the places, the stories and the faces that are on our minds at this time. We offer all that is important to us up to you now. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers this day and grant us that we may see them answered, and in them feel the blessing that comes with it. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Our closing hymn is one that makes the singer declare not only that God is with us, but that we will spread the glorious message. It is God's Spirit is deep in my heart. Another hymn I enjoy singing. I hope you get something from it too. We sing together. All that is left for me to do is to thank you for listening and to express my gratitude to all those who have contributed to this service. It is appreciated. Thank you. So go into your world, your communities, and declare that yours and my stories are God's stories, and it is all the better for it. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain in you.
Amen.